know what is true? How do you determine if what someone is saying is the truth, an outright lie, or simply an evidence of their own lack of understanding? You must have something against which to compare it, and that something is the Bible. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim continues his walk through the book of Galatians. In this sermon, he addresses the issue of false gospels, and it's a prevalent problem today, just as it was in Paul's day. The only way to know if what you hear is the true gospel is to take it back to the Scripture and compare it to the Word of God. So settle in and listen as Pastor Jim brings us truth from the light of the Word.
Galatians chapter 1, beginning in the 6th verse. Galatians 1, starting with the 6th verse. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Father God, this morning as we study in your word, I pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would move throughout those who are here today, throughout those who hear this on the radio or on TV, Father. Move upon them that they would hear your word, that they would know the importance of the true gospel. Oh, Father, I pray that you would speak through me, using me to talk to them your words, and that you are glorified in all of it. I thank you for all who are here, and we give you the honor and you the glory, because they are yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. This particular passage is one of great, great importance. And the reason I say that is because as we look around us, the false gospel is everywhere. There are people teaching stuff that absolutely dishonors God the Father and God the Son. There are people who teach things to please men. And when we do that, we dishonor God. So let me jump in here at that first verse. I am astonished that you so quickly deserting him who called you. Notice, when we believe in a false gospel, when we accept things that are not true in God's word, it is Jesus Christ who we are rejecting. It is Jesus Christ who we are deserting. We are deserting him. We are leaving him behind because we want a new and improved Jesus. That's what it is when we are accepting of false gospels. And friends, they are with us everywhere. If you turn on the radio and listen to preaching, listen to songs, you will hear so many things about Jesus Christ that are not true. Some of this might sound a little like review because it's kind of what we looked at last week as we opened this epistle up. But we're deserting him. He does not want us to adjust him to our thinking. We are to adjust our thinking to the Scriptures. When we hear something, whether you hear it from me, whether you hear it from your Sunday school teacher, a preacher on the radio, on the TV, whether it's in a book that you read, it should always be taken back and compared to the truth of the Word. Because this is the only authority. This Bible is the only authority on Scripture. Scripture is the authority of Scripture. And when we start listening to people and making them our authority for Scripture, we are just one step away from falling away. I'm astonished. He's surprised, he's saying. He's astonished. He cannot believe that they would turn so quickly. Oh, friends, There's always somebody that would take us where we don't want to go and do it in such a way that we don't realize they've taken us. We become taken captive if we're not careful. That's why we spend time in God's Word. If we get all of our learning from somebody else, we very well may be led completely astray. It would never be my intention to tell you anything that wasn't true. But does it matter who it is? We are human. Take it to the Word. I love it when people come and in kindness say, "You said this. Let's look at it." Because it tells me two things. It tells me, one, that they've been challenged by what was said. And two, is they want the truth. They're not just going to take my word, and they're not just going to keep their opinion. If they're different, they want to go back to it and find out why, so that they can know the truth. The saying that we glean from Scripture, it says that the truth will set you free. Have you ever heard that? But it doesn't say your sincere belief in something will set you free. We have this idea that if people will just sincerely believe, it doesn't matter what they believe, as long as it's sincere. That's not true. I can't imagine that any suicide bomber doesn't sincerely believe what he's doing is right. But it takes him straight to hell. Deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. In the grace. Grace, God's grace. In the grace of Christ. This is how we are saved. It is by His grace, Paul says. It is by His grace that He pours out into us. Some say, "Oh, well, grace is unmerited favor." Well, that's a good, strong piece of it. But grace is so much more. Grace is the very love of God to the unlovely. By the way, that's us, right? Unlovely. It is the very love of God to the unlovely because of His nature of love. We don't deserve His grace, but He gives it to us anyway. He gives it to all who are His. He gives it to all who He predestined, as said in Romans. To all who He predestined, He gives His grace. We call that grace irresistible grace. Why? Because when He gives us that grace, and part of that process of giving the grace is what we call regeneration. When He gives us that grace, we come into an understanding of something we didn't understand before. It's easy for someone to say, "I have never been wretched," until God's grace comes upon them. And they see how sinful they are. Their very thought life is sinful. We don't have to go out and commit sin. We are sinful to our very core. And that's as Christians. As Christians, we are sinful to our core. However, God's grace has washed it clean, and it has given us a love. Not because we loved Him, but because He loved us first. And it has given us a love for Him that causes us to hate our sin and to turn away from it. And then Paul says here in this sixth verse, and are turning to a different gospel. Well, we know that the different gospel that Paul is addressing here in Galatians is the gospel of works and grace. We know it's sole gratia, it's grace alone. But there were some who had come into the church, and it wasn't just for the Galatians, it was throughout the region. We can see that in Acts. And they were teaching that you had to be circumcised to be a believer. You had to become a Jew to become a Christian. We talked more in depth about that last week. But Paul says, no, you don't. It is by grace alone. It is not of your works. You do not earn grace. You do not earn your salvation. Your salvation is something that God gives you, and it is like fire inside of you. It lights you up. It causes things like a person to say, you will baptize me tomorrow, because they can't wait. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip was giving him the gospel, and they were going through the scriptures as they rode along, and they came to the lake, to the body of water, and he says, "What's to hinder me from being baptized?" He said, "Nothing. If you believe, that's what it does. It lights us up inside with a great desire for Him." The only person who spends time in God's Word without grace having come on them is the person who is either trying to disprove it or the person who is curious about what is this. Nobody else will desire to spend time in God's Word. But when we have His grace, we don't want to turn to a different gospel. We don't want to learn something else. We don't want to add something to Him. We just want to serve Him and follow Him and grow in our knowledge of Him. But Paul is very bothered by this different gospel. In fact, in Acts 15, starting with the first verse, says that some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, when the scripture says no small dissension, there was a discussion going on, let me tell you. I have a feeling Paul could get a little loud. I mean, I have a feeling that he could get a little loud when he is sharing the truth and get a little excited. But these people even got Barnabas excited because he joined in this debate, because he knew the same as Paul that you can't add to God's word, can't add to grace. And so there was this great discussion, this great debate, and then the church sends them to Jerusalem. And we have this Jerusalem council, and they go and they tell what's going on. If I stay in that same chapter, and I drop down to verse 5. "But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, 'It is necessary,'" this is at the council, "'it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses.'" These are people who were in the church. It says that some who were Pharisees. So these are religious people who God opened their eyes, but they were clinging to the old. They were clinging to the old. And as they cling to the old, they tried to bring it into Christianity. People do that all the time, don't they? I cannot tell you how many times in the life of this ministry that God has given me that I've had someone tell me, "All paths lead to God." They don't. They don't. I can't tell you how many times someone has told me God will end up saving everybody. He won't. Not that He can't. He won't. He will not do it. We still have this controversy going on. I stated that already. People are constantly adding to what we have to do to be saved. You know, in Baptist circles, something that we talk about often is that we cannot just say a prayer and tell someone they're saved. Our desire for someone to be saved does not save them. And our reading a prayer for them or having them read that prayer does not save them. It is the grace of God only that saves them. So it's a movement of God. In fact, I would go as far as say there is works involved in salvation, but they're all works of God, not of man. Because God works grace in us. God works forgiveness in us. God works regeneration in us. Any works that we do are because of what He has done, showing that it is pure and real what He has done in us. But they earn us nothing. A part of this false gospel of works and grace is the idea that you have to work to maintain your salvation. There are those that say, "Oh yes, salvation is by grace alone, but you got to do these things Or basically, as said here in this fifth verse of Acts 15, keep the law, otherwise you'll fall away. Otherwise you're not saved. Otherwise you'll lose your salvation. They teach these kind of things because they do not understand the grace and completeness and fullness of who God is. God is a God of love. I love to be able to preach that and teach that. Never forget that he is a God of wrath as well. But I love to be able to teach that he is a God of love. But I refuse to teach that only, because then I have distorted God. I have perverted who he is. But as a God of love, he does it all. When he saves you today, from yesterday, and from tomorrow. And it changes us. It changes us. We begin to desire what is right before God. In fact, we do begin to desire to keep, so to speak, the law. Because we see those things that are in the Ten Commandments as being things that are against God. And so we come to a place where we desire to not have other gods, to not have idols. We come to a place where the very mention of God's name used in vain makes you angry. We come to a place when you feel like you have to keep the Sabbath day because you want to worship, you want to gather. When he called us to come together and worship. We come to a place because of what he's done in us, the fifth commandment, honor your mother and your father. I usually don't say it that way. I usually say father first. But he brings us to a place where because of who he is in us, we want to give that honor. He wants within us, as he works within us, and as we change to be more Christ-like, we don't want to murder. We don't want to commit adultery, the seventh commandment. We don't want to steal and rob, the eighth commandment. We don't want to lie. When lies fly out of our mouth, they immediately convict us, don't they? We don't want to covet what our neighbor has because of what he's done in us. Not to earn him doing it, but because of what he has done. We become a new creation, the scripture says. Well, Paul goes on. He says, not that there is another gospel. After having said they turned to a different gospel, he says, not that there is another gospel. Just to be completely clear, this is the gospel. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, taking on the cross the penalty of death for those who believe. Taking on the cross the wrath that was set aside for those who believe so that they would not have to take it. He died on that cross. He was buried, wrapped in the burial garments, stuck in a tomb, stone rolled in front, dead. And then on the third day, he rose again in power and victory. And the victory was his over death, but the victory was the victory of everyone who believes. Because we now have that life in us. That's the gospel. Now, all this other stuff comes out of the gospel, and there's some important things that come out of the gospel. But that's the gospel, that's the basis, that's the foundation. And when we start adding to that other acts, we have failed. The most well-known scripture in America is what? Just tell me. John 3:16. That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would never perish, but have eternal life. That is the gospel. How he did it. Virgin birth, perfect life, death on the cross, punishment on the cross, ours, burial, and resurrection. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. There is this idea in today's world, and you hear it all over, God loves everybody. Everybody's a child of God. Whenever I say it, I feel like breaking out in kumbaya. God loves his creation, but he loves his elect. He loves those who he chose before the foundations of the world and wrote their names into the Lamb's Book of Life before there was even an axis for this earth, that they would be the bride of Christ. He loves them. If you don't believe me, Sunday night, last time I preached, the scripture from Malachi started out with, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. He didn't say he hated Esau's sin. He didn't say he hated what Esau did. He said, Esau I hated. Period. But for those whom he loves, this grace that he pours out changes us because of the gospel. And it's important for us to get this gospel right. And it's important for us not to believe those things that come. He says here in this verse 7, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. How many things have you been told that were not true about Jesus Christ? Can you count them? I can't. I can't count the things that I at one time believed that were wrong about Jesus Christ. But to overcome that, we spend time in the Bible. To overcome that, we get in here and we see, oh, well, he says this. I've actually had people say, well, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. I'm sorry, but you don't understand it because you don't read it. Read it and read it again. Pick a book and just take that book of the Bible and read it over and over again. And pretty soon you'll say, I understand this. You know, there's authors that I have to do that with. I said that the other day. You know, when I started reading John Piper, I had to go back to it over and over because he said things in such a way that didn't make sense and didn't roll into my head. And so I had to go back and read it again and then read it again and read it again. Now when I read John Piper, I know what he's talking about because I have read enough of his stuff that I know how he speaks. I know how he thinks. And so when he says something, I know what he's talking about. Somebody told me John MacArthur was hard to follow. And I thought, well, I've been listening to him for 25 years. And I've been reading his book for 20 years. I don't have any trouble following him. When we spend the time in the Bible and we spend the time in the Word, we don't have trouble following it. Now, I'm not telling you you'll understand every mystery. They're called mysteries to those who read for a reason. But he will open up worlds to you that Walt Disney never knew existed. Just spend the time in his word.
No matter the question, the answer is always found in the Bible. God is so gracious to give us his word, and it's a wonder, but he not only gives us the Bible, he actually helps us to understand it. There's no one found in Christ who does not have the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of them to help them discern what the Bible is saying. But before you can discern its meaning, you must take it in. We urge you to be a diligent student of God's Word. Check everything against the Bible, and you will not be led astray. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you write or call. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Jim with the final word. Today I am here with Jared Burdick again. If you were listening last week, you heard us talking a little bit about this upcoming rally to end abortion now. And so I'm going to turn to Jared now and just ask him to tell us a little bit about the rally.
Yeah, so the rally will be here at Lighthouse Baptist Church on February 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. We invite everyone to come and join us as we hear our guest speaker, Dusty Marshall from Apologia Church, come and teach us what God's Word says about abortion and how we are to respond. You know, Jim, it is critical that our local Christian community join together and be a voice of justice for our unborn. Today in Kansas, there are approximately 19 innocent children who are murdered at abortion clinics. We must take a stand that is rooted in the Word of God to end this evil. So the main focus of this rally is to teach what a uniquely biblical approach to abortion is. We will also be learning how to preach the gospel of hope and forgiveness, so that souls can be saved. We will be hearing from others who faithfully stand at the abortion clinics in Kansas and preach the gospel while offering help to anyone who is entering. We need to make it a priority to join them. And when we cannot join them, we need to be connected with them through prayer. So please come out and be an encouragement to them and their ministries. We will also be addressing what type of legislation we need to be supporting that will be consistent with God's word. We also need to understand what our nation and our state constitutions say to be equipped to fight this battle legislatively. If you come, be prepared to set aside anything that does not align with the Word of God. That's the standard we have for each other here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and that's the standard we're going to have for this rally, is that everything is based upon God's Word. So let us unify through the truth of the gospel. Let us love God and love our neighbors by rescuing those being taken to the slaughter. So please come and join us for this time of worship, teaching, and fellowship. We will be starting at 4 p.m. and ending around 7. We're going to have a meal at the end. So please come and join us. There will be room to social distance if you need to. But we are looking forward to this and would love to have as many come as can make it.
Thank you, Jared. Your passion shows. Hey, just real quick, one of the things I heard you say is that biblical approach. Why do we need a biblical approach to abortion? Why don't you tell us?
That is such an important question, and each of us need to spend some time wrestling with this issue. See, a consistent standard for truth is necessary to make a moral stand against anything. If we approach this issue from a secular worldview, we have compromised truth, justice, and even love, because the world cannot account for those things. So when we talk about having a biblical worldview, we are talking about living consistently and obediently to the mind of God. And we know we can trust God because he tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world cannot be consistent, but we must be.
We're about out of time here, but just very quickly, what would you say to someone who's had an abortion or been involved with someone who's had an abortion?
Again, that's so important. And I would tell them that there is hope and forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and died to save sinners. There is no sin too great, including an abortion, that God cannot forgive. God tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we also know from 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It is our goal not only to end abortion and save lives, but to save souls from eternity in hell.
But for those of you who have listened today, we just want to ask you to be in prayer for this rally. Your prayers are of utmost importance. And until next time, Sola Deo Gloria. May God bless you.